Uncertainty about the future, I think, makes us all anxious. I remember feeling really anxious as a young child when I first had to start school, and then when I had to face leaving school, starting my new job. Sort of any new event that happens in life, I get anxious about. You know, for you, maybe it was getting married or having your first child. Or perhaps the worst feeling of dread of the future is when someone needs to prepare for the death of a much-loved partner. They ask, how will I cope on my own? I'm going to be honest, I felt fearful 18 months ago about coming here to Woden Valley. Can you believe that now? You know, I'd been out of core work for about 4 years and was worried about coming back because it's like, well, what if they don't like me, you know? What if I don't remember how to do it, how to be a core officer? What if they don't like my leadership style? But I'm happy to say I had nothing that I needed to be anxious about, which is good. Well, today we're looking at I am the way, the truth and the life. And John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now this verse is often quoted to prove that Jesus is the only way to God. These words certainly set Jesus apart from all other religious leaders, as do the I am sayings that we've been looking at, and as does so much else in the New Testament. Jesus definitely claims to be revealing God in a way that no other person ever has. He's not simply teaching, this is how I think you will find God, but rather, if you believe in me and follow me, you are believing in God and following God. You're on the right path. However, when we look at the context of these words in John's Gospel, we find that Jesus is not addressing this issue at all. He's speaking to disciples who are very anxious about his departure. He's speaking to disciples who desperately want assurance and hope in a time of great uncertainty. This I am saying is found in John's account of Jesus' last few hours with his disciples in the upper room, just before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. The account of this gathering begins in John chapter 13, verse 1, where John says, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to depart from this world and to go to the Father. This opening comment about Jesus departing explains all that follows. Now, first comes the account of the foot washing, and here Jesus teaches by example that selfless service for others is the essence of the Christian life. And after this, Jesus says to his disciples, little children, I am only with you a little longer, and where I am going, you cannot come. In other words, Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm about to depart from you. Then Peter asks, Lord, where are you going? And to this question, Jesus replies, where I am going, you cannot follow. But you will cannot follow now, but you will follow afterward. So at this point, the disciples must have surely been feeling confused and uneasy. John chapter 14, verse 1, continues this dialogue on Jesus' departure. Jesus first encourages his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled because he is leaving them to prepare a place for them in heaven where he will be. What is more, he says, I will come back and escort you there. Don't be troubled, he continues, since you know the way to the place I am going. And at this point, it all becomes too much for Thomas. You know, good old doubting Thomas, who blurts out, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? We can feel the dread and almost uncertainty in Thomas's words. A future without Jesus physically with them was a very scary idea. None of the disciples would have liked this idea. You know, it is to anxious and fearful disciples that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, these words in context are not spoken to condemn others who are not disciples of Jesus. They are spoken to assure and comfort those who are disciples of Jesus, then and also now. They direct our attention to Jesus, who reveals God and speaks as God. To Jesus, who will never abandon us or forsake us. And to Jesus, who sustains us on life's journey and at the end will welcome us into heaven. Now, I'm sure you've heard a joke or two maybe about the many rooms in heaven. Has anyone heard jokes about that? Some, you know, some rooms are for Anglicans, some are for Baptists and some are for Catholics. Heard that one? Or some are for Christians, some are for Muslims, some are for Buddhists. Now, Jesus is not suggesting that heaven is made up of separate sections for different people. When Jesus says that the home he will prepare for his disciples has many rooms, he is indicating only one thing, that heaven is like a large home that has room for everyone who is invited to enter. Now, if you think about a poor family's home in Palestine in the first century, and probably in many parts of the world today, the home only has one room. So the thought of a home where there are many rooms would have been very foreign to the listeners. And if we look at the Authorized Version of the Bible, it translates the word house to mansion. So it's a mansion because it has many rooms. So no one comes to the Father except through me. So first we note the radical egocentricity of this saying, as with all the I am sayings of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. If we want to find the way to God, if we want to know the truth about God, if we want eternal life, then we will find these things in Jesus. Unlike all other religious leaders who pointed away from themselves by giving teaching on how their followers could find the way to God, Jesus says, I am that way. Follow me. Believe in me. He was not suggesting he was a second God, but rather that he was God. And in believing in him and following him and worshipping him, we are following, believing, and worshipping the one God whom Jesus perfectly reveals. Second, we note Jesus says, I am the way, not I'll show you the way to God. Now, I've got to say, before GPSs were invented and you could get it on your phone, someone gave me directions on how to get somewhere, I usually got lost. I'd get confused. You know, they might say, turn left at the crossroad, take right at the next set of lights, and then turn left at the roundabout. I'd be lost. I couldn't do it. Can't read a map. However, but if someone was saying, just follow me and I'll show you the way, I'd feel relief because I knew I wasn't going to get lost as long as I could keep up with them. That was the key. So Jesus does not say, I will show you the way you are to go, but he says, I am the way. He will be with us every step of the journey. The third thing we note is that Jesus says, I am the truth. Not I am one possible truth or one truth among many. I am the personification of truth. Now Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And in doing so, echoed what so many people ask. And Jesus' answer to this question is, I am the truth. I think we live in an age where so many people believe that we cannot know the truth about anything. Now, that truth is relative and we need to be sceptical in the world. It is in itself a claim to absolute truth that you cannot know anything for certain. But there are many things that we can know for certain in life and we can be sure that are true. Now, if we listed them all, we'd be here all day. But I'm going to mention a couple. You know, what's 2 times 2? 4, that's right, that's the truth. You know, my mother loves me, I know, that's the truth. My eyes are blue, that's the truth. You know, there's lots, so we don't need to be sceptical. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, once said, most people stumble over the truth at least once in a lifetime and move on quickly. The fourth thing we note that Jesus says is, I am the life, not I will enrich your life. Believing and following Jesus certainly can enrich our lives. But in saying, I am the life, Jesus was not suggesting I can enrich your life like a good meal at a first-rate restaurant can enrich your life, or a new car can enrich your life, or a good book can enrich your life. He was saying, I am life. I can give you a life that will not only transform your life now, but will give you eternal life, a life that even death cannot destroy. On Jesus' lips, life always meant eternal life, a quality of life he gives that even death cannot destroy. Now, does anyone know who this is? He's a good-looking man, isn't he? No, not Martin Luther. It's Thomas Akempsis is his name. And he was a devout and holy monk who lived in the 15th century. And he's immortalised because of his little Christian classic called The Imitation of Christ. In chapter 56, he depicts Christ as speaking to the disciples about what it means to follow him, making John 14, verse 6, the key to it all. I'm going to read some of it. It's going to come up on the screen. So the voice of Christ says, My child, the more you depart from yourself, the more you will be able to enter into me. As the giving up of exterior things brings interior peace, so the forsaking of yourself unites you to me. I will have you learn perfect surrender to my will without contradiction or complaint. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way which you must follow. The truth which you must believe, the life for which you must hope. I am the inviolable way, the infallible truth, the unending life. I am the way that is straight, the supreme truth, the life that is true, the life that is blessed, the life that is spiritual. If you abide in my way, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and you shall attain everlasting life. Then the disciple responds, Lord Jesus, because your way is narrow and despised by the world, grant that I may desire and imitate you and not the world. For the servant is not greater than his Lord, nor the disciple above his master. Let your servant be trained in your ways, for therein is my salvation and true holiness. Whatever else I read or hear does not refresh or delight me like your words. The voice of Christ says, My child, now that you know these things and have read them all, happy will you be if you do them. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And I will love him, and I will show myself to him, and he will sit down with me in my Father's kingdom. The disciple, Lord Jesus, as you have said, so be it. What you have promised, let it be to me to win. You know, life is uncertain. We have absolutely no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. But when facing the future with uncertainty, Jesus says to us, Let not your hearts be troubled, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to sing a song that talks about how God will make a way when there seems to be no way.